Welcome to Simple Engineering 5.0. Our goal is to empower your civil engineering career success by harnessing the full potential of computer-based technology, giving you the edge you need to excel. My name is Modeste Muhire. I go by Mo. I'm a civil engineer licensed in both the US and Canadian jurisdictions, a Bentley accredited iTwin developer, open road designer trainer, a champion for digital integration in civil engineering. I hope you enjoy the podcast and share it with others. A few days ago, I attended a conference and I met with a colleague who is a civil engineer. As we discussed the impact of AI. She asked me, Mo, what do you think? Do you think that AI is going to take over the design? I thought about it. I was like, I think with the software, you can already do it. Because if you look at it, the property of AI and the properties of software, most of the infrastructure design is really we need consistent solutions. So if I have input, some type of input that I put in the system, and my colleague put the same input, we should get the same response. Because fundamentally, it's a mathematical problem. AI operates a bit differently. AI operates on probabilities. So it says, for instance, if I say, if you start with you, what more like you're going to follow? I do recall I read a book that was with Professor Ethan Mollick and said AI is more like a glorified autocomplete. That was read the description, and I think it does fit quite well because it's about probabilities. Okay, if I start a sentence like this, if I start with this idea, what's more likely going to be associated with this? If you have a theme, what are the words that are additionally associated with whatever words I have in place? So if you look at the infrastructure, it's a bit different. Obviously, there is associations, but the associations are more strict. You can change the temperature and then make it zero. It's going to be somewhat glorified software. So if you change the parameters of AI and make the temperature very low, then it's more going to act in a very predictable way. But it's not going to be creative. So when you compare the AI, for instance, you have different models that we have, they're quite creative because there are many possible solutions when you are associating a word or coming up with a problem. You can get many solutions attached to it. But the mathematical solution, I can see how if we were to think of, oh, we have many solutions, yes, but we don't have many optimal solutions. Most of the time we have very limited optimal solutions and it's a mathematical question. Actually, at the start, the previous models of AI were no good at mathematics. You would put a number and they would just spit out a very, very incorrect response because they were not thinking in mathematical terms. In a more precise way, they were becoming creative, look at all the numbers, be like, okay, if you have 5, what's market to follow? And they'll just do it like that. These days, I've seen that they're much better. I think they say there is a core interpreter. If you put a number, then it's going to know that this is mathematics. We don't need to be creative. We just need to follow the logic. But this idea of understanding that the properties of what you call AI tools like ChatGPTs, and what we call software, which is more reliable, the difference between them is key in understanding what we can do today and what we can do in the future. So the reason why I say that we can do that with the software is because the paths and the relationships are already set. So if we wanted to do it, we can do it. We can just do it. Okay, you know what? I'm going to make a relationship and put if statements. If this condition is met, then do this. This condition is met. What we need is really to map the different possibilities and the classification and then make all the connection. Is that AI? No, I don't think that's AI. That's really software. Now, most of the software we have I would say they are done in this, to some level, but because they need to be sold to so many people, they are not so customized to each single situation. So they just give us a complete tool, but the customization is for each engineer to do. Each engineer is, we have to do the customization required on the project. I may be wondering, why don't we have the software that makes the job very, very efficient? I would say part of the reason is really there is no incentive. There's no incentive to do that because the model that we have in most cases relies on historical data, on historical times that the work take. But when you have to think about it, the path already set, the relationship already set, the conditions are almost the same. If you look at, you read a standard, it's more like, okay, if this is met, then this happens. So, and if set meant, that's really like a lot of conditions that need to be met. And you put in input, the different classification, different possibilities, then you have it. I think the AI would speed up, yeah, the write-up of the software or the software that really combines different conditions. But the concept is fundamentally a software problem. It's a programming solution, not necessarily an AI solution. Because we don't need to be very creative with numbers. 1 + 1 is always equal to 1 + 3 is always 4. So that's the idea behind the design. And this thought is, I would say, is interesting. It was very intriguing. And we kept the conversation. Also, we emphasized the need to understand that anytime we're integrating computer-based technology, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if we don't have a good information in, the computer doesn't make up the information. So actually, that's all part of the problem that we have with the AI is because some of the data that was trending, it has biases, it has incorrect information. It's not reliable. So when it's coming up with new solutions, it relies on the good data and the bad data. But if you had this one environment where we just have good solutions, then that would be a totally different world. Okay, do I predict that with AI, we are going to have changes in how we do design? I'll say yes, there's going to be some changes. This idea of understanding that predict what's going to happen. If you guys say the same way you have autocomplete, can be okay, we know the process, we know we're doing a tangent, we're going to put a curve, we're going to put another tangent. So the idea of being able to read the situation and coming up with some prediction is going to be there. And then the job of the engineer is going to be more like choosing the options. Oh, these are proposed solutions. This solution is coding quite well, and this other solution is not as good. I'm going to pick B. So that's going to be the idea. But one important step to do, or one important action to take, is going to be to make sure that the data is saved or the data is recorded in a systematic way. Because the moment you have so many data in the environment, it can get very complicated because there are millions of solutions, possible solutions. So the way to be able to structure the system so that it brings the solutions that we need, the key information that we need. It may be, okay, I need the minimum and the maximum and the medium, or solution that have a difference of every 5 km/h if we change the speed. So there's going to be some type of ways that we can change the interaction with the system so that we can minimize the amount of data that needs to be processed. At the end of the day, the reason why I had to talk about this is really that thought, that realization that first with the software, you can do a lot. And so once we understand that this is very predictable, most of the design is very, very predictable. But also there's going to be some input that we can borrow from AI. But primarily that we're doing mathematical work. By doing the engineering design, there is a lot of mathematics involved, and mathematics are very predictable. While the AI is not very, very reliable, it gives the information. The response is very, very different. If I put in the information and put in the same information, we get different responses, and that's how it's supposed to work based on its structure. So this idea of understanding that we have two different systems working in the industry is very, very important. But something I would like to highlight is the idea of solution. In engineering, we have many types of solutions. There is just a solution. It works. It meets all the requirement. But that solution may not be optimal. It may be either more expensive. It may require more cut. It may not necessarily optimize the speed of the drainage. So there may be something that we can always improve on. But the idea of having optimized solution is that solution that looks at the priorities and that says, you know what, we have the best drainage that we can have, but also this the best speed we can get. And this is the best drainage we can get. So we can really make sure that we are getting the best of what's important on our project. I can predict that with AI, we're going to be able to scan through different solutions and get to the optimal solution much faster. But it's deep down, it's really the programming. That's the mathematical approach to those questions, to those needs that we're trying to address. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I'm curious to hear about your observations when you use design softwares or using AI or to discover it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear what you see and what you saw when you were designing and how this discussion impact your view of the era we're in. What do you think? Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please rate, review, and share this work with others to help civil engineering professionals thrive in the 5.0 era. If you use LinkedIn, I would like to connect with you. You can find me by typing Modeste Muhire with more in parentheses. Thank you so much.